Why, hello and welcome. Welcome to the Peer Pressure Podcast. I am Diane, sometimes known as Diane Kamikaze, and I am your host. The reason why I do this podcast is because I like to say I am a champion of heavy music. I've always found my favorite songs since I was a young kid had riffs, hooks, were either metal, hardcore, hard rock, or punk, or something fairly aggressive in attitude and sound. And I am all about appreciating the people that keep that world going, whether they're musicians, webmasters, other podcasters, record label and festival owners. It's important to me to recognize what these people do in that realm of music. So, I am here to bring them to you in a different context, more than a Wikipedia entry or a press release, a little more personal and a lot more fun. I'm a rocker for life, and I hope these episodes do make a difference. Send me feedback at diane@wfmu.org, and my Facebook page is Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life. Like my page there, and I will keep everybody updated on podcast episodes in that space. Thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned. My guest today is Nick Sakes. This is a throwback episode from March of 2012. And at the time, it was very close to the release of the Zaddax record called Counter Clockwork. So he does talk a little bit about Zaddax. Nick Sakes was also a member of Colossomite, The Dazzling Killmen, Sick Bay. I'm probably forgetting something, but super creative, fun guy. Like I said, this is a throwback episode, and enjoy. It sort of truncates a little bit quickly due to some technical issues back in the day. Say hello to Nick Sakes. Breathing heavy over the corner. Yes. Is Nick Sakes.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Oh,
lovely to... Thank you so much for coming here, Nick.
You're welcome.
Nick is... a guitarist extraordinaire and responsible for... Are you going to do that for the entire afternoon? And he gags a lot.
Constantly gagging.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, would you say that the band that you're best known for is being a member of the Dazzling Killmen?
I definitely would say that, yes. I get the most random emails from Poland about Dazzling Killmen, I think.
Really?
I don't... Or someplace like that. It's no, just yeah. That's the one that people that perhaps up to 143 people worldwide know.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
It's at 143 right now. I count.
I'm going to say 147.
There's the guy in Boise. That him and his three friends, they just hung out last night,
mm-hmm.
and I forgot those guys.
Listen to this stuff. This is crazy.
Yep. They were partying in their van, and they pulled out the tape. They mm-hmm. listened to the Dazzling Killmen tape. Look, I got this new tape.
Brand new. It takes a while to get things out to Boise.
Yeah, they're still on tapes out there.
Uh-huh. So, can you say a little bit about Dazzling Killmen, how it came about, and what kind of a project that was?
Well, I used to live in a town called Wood River, Illinois, which was on the east side of St. Louis. For convenience sake, I say St. Louis. At the time, I was early 20s. I'd never played in bands ever. But I was hanging out with a lot of people around there that were in bands, some of which were the band Uncle Tupelo, those guys. Mm-hmm. I was hanging out with Jeff Tweedy a lot. I went to college with him, and I went with them on Uncle Tupelo shows out of town, just hanging out with those guys and other local bands, this other band called Culture Shock, not the UK Culture Shock, but this... featured Darren Gray, Darren and I used to hang out a lot. And eventually, when I was about 26, I decided I'd had enough and I was going to get a guitar and start playing. So I literally picked up the guitar at age 26 and asked Darren if he would show me how to play like anything on it. And I went up to his house. Well, he just had his a baby. He and his wife were living in his parents' basement, and we would play very quietly, and he would show me how to play bar chords. And pretty soon, we started making up little tunes, and then kind of got excited about it. And then he knew a guy at school named Blake Fleming, who was this great drummer, and he's like, "Yeah, I guess we could ask Blake to do it," and he did, and that's pretty much how it got started. I got the name from a story written by an artist called Lucas Samaras. He wrote a story called Killman that I read in a chemical imbalance zine. So I was really like into reading Forced Exposure, Your Flesh, Chemical Imbalance, Maximum Rock and Roll. Like I'd taken fandom as far as it went, and like okay, I'm sitting in an immense pile of fanzines with thousands of people that are playing in bands. Like, it can't be that hard. It cannot be that hard. I'm going to try. I'm going to do it, damn it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what happened. And, you know, we, St. Louis at the time, and was kind of an easy place to be in a band. There wasn't much going on, like, not well, I don't want to say that and offend anyone in St. Louis, but we kind of got to open up for lots of bands like Jesus Lizard and Helmet, because there really wasn't any other band that wasn't like a strict genre, like they're like a hardcore band or they're metal. Like, we were kind of like, we were asked to play with bands that the promoter would be like, I don't know, like, who do we have to play with? We played with Sebado, Jesus Lizard, Jawbox, Helmet, Fugazi. It was kind of great. I mean, we were sort of like
those are
a little bit big
spots.
Big fish in a little pond, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to offend St. Louis by calling it a little pond, but
well, it's clearly
it was
not
cool.
A big pond, and it is landlocked. So.
Yeah, so it was.
Don't worry about offending anybody.
I'm sorry, St. Louis. I still have fond memories of you, sort of.
And when did you leave St. Louis?
I left St. Louis in 1995 and moved up to Minneapolis. And that was the first time I quit music altogether. That's it, I'm done. After Dazzling Killman had a hideous breakup. And, of course, I moved and said, well, I guess it's time to start another band. The only time I've ever done this, I put an ad in the paper, and I think I worded it like, Raymond Scott, Devo, Black Flag, ex-member of Dazzling Killman, seeks others. Oh, and when I got home from work that day, on the message machine was this guy, John Dietrich, who said, yeah, just saw your ad. So turns out John and I started Colossomite. And, I don't want to go on and on. Although I am going on and on. But now John and Ed, who were in Colossomite, now they play in Deerhoof. But we were Colossomite, Chad, John, and Ed, and I, and toured Europe and had a few albums on Skin Graft.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to just ask you a little bit about the Skin Graft label, because being from the East Coast, it was just, to me, I guess I just saw it as this real, whimsical projects, like cute, great music. I mean, that's one of those labels that I really just liked everything on it. And everything was distinctly different. But what were your dealings with the label? Like, how did that come about? And what was it like to be on the label? Because I imagine, like, it's like a party. Like,
it was kind of that way, yeah. Like, Mark and Rob were these two guys. They lived in suburban St. Louis, and they had a little comic book, Skin Graft Comics. Uh-huh. And it was like a little Xerox comic book that they'd go to shows and sell. And, I remember they introduced themselves. It was actually when we played with Jesus Lizard, and they came up and said, "Hey, we want to do a record with like a comic book cover," because we'd seen those as a little kid, have those little books with the story, and thought, "Oh,
yeah,
this
like
is
the superhero."
Yeah, they were great. Mm-hmm. So of course, yes, we'll do it, and that thus became Skin Graft Records. And I really, how this other band from Minneapolis, strangely enough, called Mother's Day, ended up being the other band on this split 7-inch with us and Mother's Day. And I'm not really clear how that happened. We didn't really know them, and there was another guy involved in the label at the time. And anyway, so that's how the label was born. Rob and Mark moved to Chicago and went to the Art Institute, and eventually Mark started to work with Touch and Go, and the label became distributed and manufactured through Touch and Go, which was really nice. But I'm kind of losing my train of thought now.
No, that's okay. Because I guess the skin graft, all the graphics, were there things that you were completely in control of, or did they have ideas for you about certain artists and covers?
No, they pretty much did it. Rob and Mark did almost all the art, I think, like for those comics, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was kind of the deal. We do the music and they do the art. I mean, and...
That's a great way to do it, really, and it's something that's not... You know, it's like the band is in charge of, you know, their album cover and that kind of thing. And it's a really cool concept. And I always just love those releases because they were so, you know, whimsical and fun. And,
and the non-approachable.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
An entertainment package.
Mm-hmm. And then if we can just sort of fast forward now, you are a member of Zaddax.
I am.
Is that the way I pronounce
yes,
it?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Zaddax.
And you have a release on the Skin Graft.
That's right. We're back on Skin Graft, which never went away, contrary to a lot of people's rumors that the label has been going since 90. Mark Fisher, the guy who is Skin Graft now, lives in Vienna, Austria, and is married. So it's kind of it's nowadays pretty fairly simple. I mean, with Skype and the internet, but we're back on Skin Graft, and we have a new album called Counter Clockwork. We recorded with Colin Marston. Do you know Colin? He plays in Kralis and Dysrhythmia and Gorguts and Behold the Arctopus, and he must have an amazing brain to play in all those bands.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that today. Like, how does that guy do it? Like, play guitar and bass
That's just got to be the way his brain is.
He's one of those guys. He must have a weird Rain Man side that no one sees or something.
You couldn't play in those four bands and just be like trying hard. Like, it would just
you're right.
Right. He probably just has that talent, and it probably just comes out of him.
He was great to record with, though. We're totally happy with it.
How long did it take to record?
2 days, I think. Well, we did it in two different sessions, but pretty much we're an in and out of the studio kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. It's coming out on vinyl and I guess made to order CD, which is something I'd never heard of before this. Like, apparently you order it and the CD robot in Amazon puts it together and mails it to you. Like, there's not a giant pile of CDs sitting in your apartment staring at you like, look at your failure, you know. There's like, what's wrong, can't get rid of us? No, it's just one at a time, which is great. There's not the failure pile staring at you every day.
Right. And you go, oh,
and it's good.
11.
It's a good product. Like, yeah. I don't know. And then, because then you end up giving away all everything. Like, sure, take it. Like, because you look at the failure pile and there's like 500 CDs, and you end up like all your friends have like, just go get it. You know, just take five.
Right. You can use them as little mirrors.
On
the back. You
throw away the CD and the cover and make new covers for mixes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
The strange new world.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that sort of CD by order. I'm sure that I will. And so where can they get the CD to order?
Apparently you can get it, I think, on iTunes and Amazon.
Okay.
Or not iTunes, but Amazon. I looked it up and they have it there now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. Where's the best place?
Well, we have a SoundCloud site that I've been telling people to go check out. We should probably get a website.
And I'll help Nick out here by saying that Zadax has a section on the skingraftrecords.com website. Zadax broke up in 2017, I think, maybe 2018. But there's a lot of good material from them. Check out the other things that Nick has his hands in. Really creative guy. Really fun. Okay, until the next episode, thanks for listening, Diane Kamikaze. And that concludes another podcast episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. More on the way. I am Diane Kamikaze. Check my Twitter and my Instagram. Handle is one word, Diane Kamikaze. Kamikaze ends with an E. On Facebook, you can find me as Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life and Making a Difference. The full link to my index of shows and podcasts can be found on wfmu.org/playlists/DK. That's a capital D and a capital K. I'm going to be working on encore presentations, and I've got years of interviews and podcasts. So if there's something that you'd like to see reposted that you missed, please get in touch. Send me email, diane@wfmu.org. And be sure to subscribe to the show. And if you like it, please rate it and review it. Wow. WFMU. Peer pressure. Thank you. See you next time.